Amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. We're continuing our verse-by-verse exposition through this letter to the Hebrews, this letter to the Church of Jerusalem. Hebrews chapter 5. We'll be looking at chapter 5, verses 11 through chapter 6, verse 3. And looking at the church that would not grow up. So Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through chapter 6, verse 3, hear the word of the Lord. About this, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, and of instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Praise God for his word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace in giving us your word, that you have revealed yourself to us through not only nature, but in a specific and special way through your word, that you've revealed Christ to us through your word and the gospel. And even here, this specific passage, Lord, we know that you are sovereign over all things and that we have come to this passage today by sovereign appointment for each of us here this morning. You've called us to be here, for we all need to hear this word. Lord, I pray now as we study this passage, this stern rebuke, that Lord, that you would humble us to be able to receive it if it applies. And Lord, also, as there is great encouragement in this passage, and Lord, if it's your will, that you would use this passage and grow us as your people. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All children except one grow up. Who knows what book begins with that line? Oh, okay. All right. Yep. My kids stole it. They stole the thunder. There you go. Okay. Good job, Penny and Conrad. But yeah, it's the first line of the book, Peter Pan or Peter and Wendy. What children have ever heard of that book or read that book before, or adults? Yes, Peter. It's Peter Pan. Okay. Conrad watched it too. He got the book and he watched it. But it begins, all children except for one grow up. And that one is who? Peter Pan, the fictional protagonist of the story, begins by describing him, though he's this daring yet mischievous young boy who knows how to fly, who loses his shadow, who leads the band of lost boys in these adventures of Neverland. But the most unique thing about Peter Pan in the story of Peter Pan, it's not that he can fly or that he can lose his shadow, but the most unique thing about Peter Pan in the story is that he never grows up. He's forever young. He's forever a child. And at first, that idea sounds great, especially if you're reading the book. You're thinking, man, Peter Pan, he has all this freedom. He can do whatever he wants. He acts as if he has no care or responsibilities in the world. And it seems like him and his ragtag group of lost boys, they're really living the dream. But if you get to the end of the book, it's clear that by choosing not to grow up, Peter Pan actually misses out on a lot in life. He misses out on familial love. He misses out on maturing, on growing up. And really, life seems to pass him by. For the book ends, now this is a spoiler alert, but you know the book's been out for 100 years. So, you know, you had a chance, all right? But it ends with Wendy, his friend, all grown up. He's still a boy. When he gets back, Wendy's not only grown up, but she's married now. And she's had a child. She has her own family. She's transitioned into adulthood, and Peter Pan never does. And I think Peter Pan is a wonderful story of how, though growing up is hard, it's necessary. It's a good part of life. I mentioned the story of Peter Pan because, yes, he's the boy who would not grow up. Well, our passage this morning is about the church that would not grow up, that would not grow up spiritually. It's the church of Jerusalem, the church that the Apostle Paul is writing to here in this letter to the Hebrews. You can say the church of Jerusalem was a spiritual form of Peter Pan. The church of Jerusalem is the Peter Pan of the New Testament. It was a church that did not want to grow up spiritually, but instead they wanted to stay young and immature. And it's this spiritual immaturity that the author of Hebrews rebukes strongly and sternly here in this passage this morning. And he doesn't just rebuke them for rebuke's sake, but he does so to spur them on to maturity. And that's really the main idea of our passage here of chapter 5, verses 11 through chapter 6, verse 3. It's a charge given to the church to spiritually grow up. It's a charge given to them to spiritually mature. It's a charge given to them to go from spiritual milk to spiritual meat. And the author does this in two ways here in our passage. First, he gives this rebuke against them for their spiritual maturity. That's in verses 11 through 14. But then after that, he lays out for them on how to grow. And that's in verses 1 through 3. So there's the rebuke, and then there's the encouragement. There's the rebuke of their immaturity, and then there's the hopeful encouragement that they can press on into maturity, that there is hope for spiritual growth in their lives as Christians and as a church. And my prayer for us is just that. I mean, what we prayed this morning, that we would mature. I would mature. We would mature as a church spiritually this year, that our growth wouldn't be stunted. But instead, this year would be one of great spiritual maturity, great growing up for us. That we would not be like Peter Pan. That we wouldn't be described as Heritage Baptist Church, the church that would never grow up. But instead, we would be a church that would grow, that would mature in our faith. That we would be one that would mature over time, doctrinally, theologically, spiritually. And may the Lord use even this passage, use even this rebuke to spur us on to maturity. That this would be what gets us to get up and to press on. All right, so this section of Scripture begins with the Apostle Paul giving this church at Jerusalem a stern rebuke because of their spiritual maturity. Look at verses 11 through 14 with me. The Bible says this. It says, about this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So here, this passage begins with verse 11 saying, although I want to talk about this other subject, I really can't because of y'all's lack of spiritual growth and maturity. Now, that sounds pretty harsh, but look at verse 11. He says this, about this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. I mean, if you really look, our passage this morning is really a parenthesis, you could say, in the main argument of this section. He really wants to talk about another subject that he will pick back up in chapter 7. If you look back at verse 10, verses 9 through 10, he said this. He said, and being made perfect, he, Christ, became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's telling them, I want to tell you more about this doctrine, more about this doctrine of how Christ is our high priest through the lineage of Melchizedek. He's like, I want to talk to y'all about Melchizedek, about Christ's priestly line through the lineage of Melchizedek, how Christ is this forever priest. But I can't because you're dull of hearing. Now, he'll pick it back up in chapter 7. But he says, I want to talk to you about that, about Christ and Melchizedek. But you are not ready for it. The reason you're not ready for it is because you're spiritually immature. And one of the ways you're spiritually mature is that you have dull of hearing. It's almost like he's saying, I want to give you this T-bone steak doctrinally, but you ain't ready for it. You're still on that spiritual milk. But you should be able to take a T-bone steak at this time, but you're not. You know, I think it's at this point, if any of y'all have ever heard sermons by Brother Bodie Bach, on one of his favorite sayings is, if you can't say amen, say what? Ouch, okay? At this point, this is when the Church of Jerusalem says ouch, right? When he says, I want to talk about these other things, but y'all ain't ready. And it's because you're dull of hearing. This is one of those ouches in the scriptures. I mean, I can hear even the Church of Jerusalem. I mean, when this is read, them thinking to themselves, ouch, what are you saying, Apostle Paul? Are you saying we can't handle the truth? We're not smart enough? We're not bright enough? Well, the author of Hebrews, he'll give his reason in verses 12 through 14, the reason why they can't take spiritual stakes. And it's not because of their intellect. It's not because they're not bright enough. As we'll see, it's not an intellectual problem. It's a heart problem. It's a spiritual problem. They're spiritually immature. And he gives four marks of spiritual immaturity here in verses 12 through 14. Four characteristics of this church that describes them as being spiritual toddlers. And all four of them come in these verses 12 through 14. Let me list these four marks of spiritual immaturity, and then we'll look at each of them in turn. But the four marks of their spiritual immaturity are this. First, they don't listen very well. They're dull of hearing. Second, they are forgetful. They forget all the basic doctrines that they were taught. Third, they are unskilled in handling the word of God. And lastly, they're spiritually undiscerning. So you want to know a picture of someone who's spiritually mature, or you want to know a picture of a spiritually immature church? You don't listen very well. You forget things. You're unskilled in the word, and you're undiscerning. And the summary of all these four characteristics is really that of a toddler. Right? I have one at the house right now. I mean, think of a toddler. For those parents who have toddlers, you can think of these four characteristics and think, that sounds a lot like my toddler. For example, try telling your toddler to do things. Right? They don't just listen the best. They can easily get sidetracked. You can tell them to go do something, and they get into the other room, and they're doing something else. They're playing with their toys. And if they do listen to you, they easily forget, don't they? You tell them to pick up these toys, and again, they go upstairs and they easily forget what happened that you told them to do so. Toddlers are very unskilled. No offense to toddlers among us. But toddlers are just unskilled. That is what it is. Toddlers can't dress themselves. Toddlers can't go in the kitchen and turn on the stove and make themselves food. Toddlers can't do many things. They're unskilled. They can't put their own clothes on. And lastly, toddlers are undiscerning. Right? Toddlers will just run out in the middle of the road, won't they? Right? They won't look both ways. Toddlers will put their fingers in the light sockets and do a lot of other things. They don't know right from wrong many times. So toddlers, they don't listen well. They forget things easily. They're unskilled in doing basic things like putting their shoes on and tying their shoes, cooking, and all those things. And they're undiscerning. It's hard for them to distinguish right from wrong, good from evil. And the author of Hebrews is saying, those four characteristics, they describe you, church, spiritually. You, church, you are a spiritual toddler, so to speak. But here's one thing, and this is the worst part. Is they are spiritual toddlers, but they've been in the faith for a long time. I say this because the Church of Jerusalem was the first church of Christendom. Right? The Church of Jerusalem was founded at Pentecost. It was founded when the Apostle Peter preached in Jerusalem and God saved thousands of people. This is the very first church. This is the first church of Christendom. Think about it. It's the flagship church of Christianity, of early Christianity. Think about it. This church was founded around 33 AD. This letter was written most likely around 50 AD. So this church is the most established church by this time. And they've been a church for almost two decades. The Apostle Paul is saying, y'all should not be acting like spiritual toddlers or babes. Y'all should be spiritually mature by this time. Y'all should be spiritual adults. You know, because being a toddler is not necessarily a bad thing. We all have to go through that stage. Me saying toddlers don't listen well, forget things, and are unskilled, it's nothing mean about toddlers. We were all at that level. We were all that young, and we had to grow. That just is what it is. I'm not mad at my toddler because he can't fix his own food. Okay, he's a toddler. Lord willing, he will grow and learn those things. And similar, there are those that are spiritual babes among us. There are those who are spiritual toddlers among us. If the Lord saved you last year, if you've only been a Christian for weeks, months, or even a year, I mean, you're still in spiritual babe form. You're still a spiritual toddler. We would expect things that you're still growing in. We'd expect these characteristics to mark you. Now, if this church was acting like these things back in, let's say, 35 AD, that's understandable. Or let's say the Church of Jerusalem was founded in 49 AD and they were acting like this in 50 AD, it would be expected. They'd be spiritual toddlers, spiritual babes in Christ. But that's not the case. This church should be spiritually mature. They've been Christians for decades. They've been a church for almost two decades. And the Apostle Paul is saying, you're not where you should be spiritually. Think of this rebuke not as a parent scolding a toddler for not being able to cook food. Think of this rebuke that the Apostle Paul is doing. It's like a parent who's scolding their 30-year-old son who lives in the basement who won't cook his food, right? Won't get a job. This isn't scolding toddlers. This is scolding spiritual toddlers that are like 40 years old that they should be doing other things, but they're not. They should be spiritually mature, but they're not. That's the issue. Now, with that said, let's consider these four descriptions of spiritual immaturity. The first one is seen in verse 11. He says this, about this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain because you have become dull of hearing. Notice the first reason why the Apostle Paul here can't move on to deeper doctrines with this church. It's not because they're not smart enough. It's not because this doctrine is too complex and over their head. He begins by saying, I can't explain this to you because you are dull of hearing. The church of Jerusalem had become dull of hearing. Again, not physically, but spiritually. They're bad at listening and hearing the word of God. The word dull here means sluggish, lazy. You can even say numb. They are lazy listeners of God's word. Lazy hearers of God's word. They're numb hearers of God's word. Now, how does that look? You know, what does it mean for a church to be dull of hearing or for a Christian to be dull of hearing? Well, it would look like, let's take this Sunday morning. It would look like you're here sitting under the preached word of God, but you're zoned out for the whole hour. You're sitting here. You're here. You're here at church. You're hearing the word preached. But afterwards, if someone asks you, hey, what was the sermon about? What was the text about? Your answer would be, I don't know. I was actually thinking about things this upcoming week. I was actually thinking about putting stuff around my house for the freeze coming, or I'm thinking about all these other things. You're zoned out. You're numb. You're not hearing. You're being lazy and you're listening. You're not paying attention spiritually when the word is preached. For example, let me ask you a question. Do you remember last week's sermon? Am I asking you, do you remember? I'm not asking you, hey, was that a good sermon or a bad sermon? Now, sermons need to be, you know, faithful to God's word. But I'm not asking you how eloquently delivered was that sermon. Did it stir you up? I'm not asking you about the sermon. I'm asking you about your listening of it. Right? Did you listen to God's word with spiritual attention and expectancy? You know, each Lord's Day as we gather as a church, the question isn't, you know, how great are our sermons being preached? The question you need to be asking yourself is, am I being a good listener when I come to a Lord's Day worship service? Is my heart attuned to God's word? You know, during the preaching event, when we gather together, the emphasis is not on the preacher. The emphasis is on you. Are you receiving the word being preached? Where's your heart? What did you glean or learn from in the preaching of God's word? Did you learn anything? If not, why not? Were you distracted by something else? Were you focused on something else other than the word? If so, then that is what the Apostle Paul is describing as dull hearing. You are dull of hearing spiritually. One mark of spiritual immaturity is just that, dull of hearing. It's being a lazy listener to God's word. It's sitting and hearing the word, but just being passive and not paying attention to it. And this goes for not only in a worship service, this goes for any time you're exposed to God's word. This goes to your personal Bible reading. This goes to when your family is worshiping within the home. Are you listening? Are you engaged in the word, or are you being lazy, dull of hearing? When you read the word for yourself, how are you responding to the word? How are you receiving it? See, this you know, it's great to have New Year's resolutions about reading the Bible and reading it consistently and reading it in a year and all those things. But I want you to make another commitment this year, not just reading the Bible. I want you to commit yourself to being a good hearer of the word. Right? You can read the whole Bible in a year. You can check that box and still never really grow. Because you can just go through the motions the whole time and just read it real quick, be zoned out, and get back to what you were doing before. The goal when we try to read through the Bible, when we try to read through it consistently on a daily basis, it's not just so we can check the box that we did it. It's so we can learn from God's word. We need to study, dig into it, apply it to our own heart. Where I think of, you know, not just reading it, but that's why it's great to have different principles when you read the word. I mean, I always think of the acronym SOAP. When you read the Bible, you study, you observe, you apply, you pray. It's not just reading it and leaving. You sit down, you read that passage, you study it, you dig in. What is this passage being said? What's being taught here? Observe some of the deeper doctrines being taught and glean from it. And then take those truths and apply them to your hearts. Now, what is this passage saying to me? I know what it means, but how is it to change my life? Is there a rebuke there that where I need to change? Is there a comfort there, a hope there that I need to cling to? And then you go to the Lord in prayer. Now, are you doing that? Are you studying God's word, not just reading it? Well, the church of Jerusalem, they were dull of hearing. They'd become spiritually lazy in listening to the Bible preached and when they read it for themselves. As a result, being dull of hearing led to their spiritual growth being stunted. All right, now let's look at the second mark of spiritual immaturity. It's spiritual forgetfulness. This is in verse 12. It says this: for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. Now he's telling them, he's saying, not only are y'all lazy listeners, dull of hearing, but you're also forgetful listeners. That anything you do hear, truly, you forget. It goes in one ear, out the other. And he tells them, and here's another ouch here in this passage. He says, by this time, y'all should all be teachers. But you're not only, none of y'all are teachers at this point, but y'all still need people to teach you the basic ABCs of the faith. Now here, I don't think he's saying that all the members need to be in a formal office of teaching. But instead, he's saying y'all should be at the point to where y'all should have this wealth of knowledge, of scriptural knowledge, of Bible knowledge, in which you can pass that on to others. You know, anytime we gain knowledge, the purpose isn't for us to hoard all of our biblical knowledge. When you learn something from God's word, either when you're reading it, reading the word for yourself daily, or when you're hearing something preached or from a Sunday school class, when you learn something, one of the best things to do right after that is to teach it to others, to tell others about what you've learned. Here, they weren't doing that. They weren't teaching or discipling others in the word. It's as if they learned all these great truths in almost 20 years and forgot them all. Now, I want to tell you who they had teaching them as a church in these 17 years or so. They had the Apostle Peter, okay? That's who, it was his preaching that created the church, that started the church, that the Lord used to save sinners. I'm pretty sure the Apostle Peter had a great relationship with his church and preached there regularly. They heard the Apostle Peter preach. Y'all know who the pastor of this church is? James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus. They had him as a pastor. You think of all the apostles who were around that area and being there and preached. They had all these great opportunities to grow in the knowledge of God's word, but they didn't. It's as if they, again, they heard all these great truths and they went in one ear and out the other. They weren't just bad listeners, but when they did listen, they forgot things. What they learned never really sunk into their bones. You know when something gets into your bones, right? When something gets into your bones spiritually, it's you don't forget it, right? You love it. You cherish it. You prize it. And that's what all truth from God's word should be when we hear it and when we read it and when we meditate on it. It should be in our bones. It should move our affections. But here for them, it's almost like when they heard God's truths, they might have heard the facts of them, and then they responded with, meh, okay. You know, it's just, Wow, Christ dying on the cross for sinners, Christ being this great high priest, this once for all death for sins completely, meh, okay. And then they would forget. They heard it, but then they forgot it. That's a very dangerous place to be as a church, as a Christian, as a church. Think about it. These first two characteristics, dull of hearing and spiritual forgetfulness, it's hard for me not to think of those two characteristics as they relate it to the illustration that the author used in chapters 3 and 4, which was the wilderness generation. Remember? The wilderness generation there, right after the Exodus event. I mean, this is two things that really characterize them, right? As Moses is leading God's people in the wilderness, they were dull of hearing, right? I mean, their hearts are called hard hearts. I mean, that's another way to call dull hearing. It's numb hearts. They would not hear God's voice. He would speak, but they just would not hear it spiritually. It's just dull of hearing. That's why he commands them to today hear my voice. Don't harden your hearts. But not only was the wilderness generation dull of hearing, but you know from the examples, they were very forgetful, weren't they? I mean, can you think of examples in which that wilderness generation was forgetful? I mean, think about it. One day, they see God miraculously bring down manna from heaven, literally bread falling down from heaven to provide for them. What will they do the next week? Grumble and complain and think, why would God do this? Why would God bring us into the wilderness just to die? He doesn't care about us. He will never provide for us. And you're thinking, okay, what happened last week? Did you not just see the miracle God can bring forth bread from heaven? Surely he will provide. And he did. He provided water and bread. And they saw the great Exodus event. They saw the Red Sea get split in two. That's all what God can do. If he can get them from Egypt through the Red Sea, surely he can get them to the promised land. But they were spiritually forgetful. And the application here for us is simple. Here, do these two characteristics mark you as a Christian? How has your listening to God's word been lately? How has it been on Sundays, during Sunday school, during the worship services? How's it been in your daily reading of God's word? How's it been during family worship time? When the word is read, when it's preached, how are you hearing it? How are you receiving it? Take your focus off whoever's teaching and put it upon yourself. How are you listening? How are you receiving it? Would you be considered dull of hearing, lazy hearing, hard-hearted, spiritually forgetful? Again, I can ask you, what did you read yesterday in your word, in the Word? Do you remember that? Just this morning in Sunday school, what did you go over? What did you glean from it? What did you learn from it? As it has been said, mature saints are easily edified. Mature saints can take a Sunday school lesson or sermon when they're reading God's word, even if they're in Leviticus or Numbers, wherever, and take it and glean something from it, for their ears are close to it, close to the Lord. When's the last time you've been edified and encouraged by your reading of the word? When's the last time you've been stirred in your affections and love for the Lord when you've heard his word preached or in a Sunday school class or in your own reading of the word or in family worship? As your pastor, I'm so thankful. The last week or two, I've heard from so many of y'all that y'all are committing yourselves to reading the word every day and having different plans. I'm saying that just brings joy to my heart. And I want to encourage you, when you do that, listen attentively to God's word when you read it. Don't forget it. If you got to go slower, if you can't do it in a year, it's okay. Read the Bible in 3 years. Okay? No one said you got to read the Bible in a year. If you need to go slower, go slower. Read it, study it, let it get into your bones. You're not just reading another book. This is the Bible. This is the very words of God. It's as if you're sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, of God speaking to you, because you are, because it's his words. So take the reading of his words seriously. Don't rush it. Enjoy it. Soak it up. Also, it could be that you have not been growing this last year or even the beginning of this year. You have not been growing because of these two reasons. Because you haven't been spiritually attentive to the preaching of the word. You haven't been thinking on and dwelling on the word as you've learned it. I want to encourage you, add those two aspects to your commitment this year to be a better listener to God's word, to be a better retainer of his word, to study it, to be engaged in it, to memorize it. All right, so let's look at the third mark of spiritual immaturity in this text. And it is being unskilled in the word. You see this at the end of verse 12 and beginning of verse 13. He says, you need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. So this next attribute is that they are unskilled in the word of righteousness, or the word of God. As you can tell, all these marks of spiritual infantilism, it's all connected to God's word. It's all connected to the lack of it in substance. There's bad listening to his word. There's forgetfulness of his word. And now they're unskilled in it. And the word unskilled here just means inexperienced. It's being unfamiliar with. And the author is saying, spiritually speaking, all you can handle is milk. Because you're not ready for solid food. It's like a newborn babe. They're unfamiliar with solid food. They don't know how to swallow it. They don't have the ability to do so. All they know is spiritual milk. And again, spiritual milk is not bad. It's good for spiritual babes. Just like physical milk is good for a newborn babe. We don't ridicule a baby for drinking their mother's milk. We encourage that. That's good. The author here isn't knocking spiritual babes, new Christians. Instead, he's knocking those who are older and mature, or they're older in the faith, but they're not mature in the faith. It's like seeing a teenager still drinking his mother's milk. That's not healthy. That's not right. Similarly, it's not healthy spiritually to be relying on spiritual milk when you're older in the faith. And because they've been relying on spiritual milk for all these years, they've become unskilled and unfamiliar with the word of his deeper things. They don't know how to rightly divide it and understand it. They can't dig deep into God's truths. They don't have the skill set. They don't have the spiritual ability to do so. Again, it's not they have this skill set. They don't have this skill set. And this is what happens when you don't listen well to God's word. This is what happens when you easily forget his word. I mean, even if you wanted to, it'd be difficult to understand the robust doctrines of the faith because here they haven't been listening. They haven't been remembering. They don't have the ability to grasp it. It's like trying to play a high-level sports game with never practicing. You can't just throw someone in there. They have to have done the practice. And here he's saying, y'all, Church of Jerusalem, you are unskilled in the word. You don't know how to handle it. You're unfamiliar with it. You're inexperienced with it. And then lastly, the fourth and final mark of spiritual immaturity is a lack of spiritual discernment. This is a scene in verse 14. He says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Here, I think this is really the crescendo, the greatest warning of spiritual immaturity, which is lack of spiritual discernment. If you think about it, all four of these characteristics build upon one another. If you're a bad listener, you're going to be a forgetful listener. If you're a bad listener and a forgetful listener, then you're going to be unskilled in the word. And if you're unskilled in the word, you're going to be spiritually undiscerning as a Christian and as a church. And when you become undiscerning spiritually as a church, as a Christian, you are opening yourself up to so many attacks spiritually, different temptation of sins, different temptations to believe in false doctrines. You're opening yourself up to theologically and spiritually drift away. So the author says, those who eat spiritual food, they're mature. Meaning they're mature, meaning spiritually, they're able to discern evil from good. Now, when we hear evil from good, that's not just moral actions. It's not that they just know what to do that's right and the other one that's wrong. That's a piece of it, but I think it's more. Remember, what's the context here to the Church of Jerusalem? The context of this letter, the reason Paul is writing this letter is because the church there is on the verge, on the precipice, on the cliff of falling and believing false teaching and a false doctrine, really a false gospel. They're being tempted to go back to the old covenant, go back to the temple, go back to the ceremonial laws, go back to the priests. Though they have Christ, they're tempted to go back to those things. And they think that they need to go back to those things to be mature Christians. They're being tempted to believe that Jesus is not enough, that the cross is not enough, that they need these other things. They still need the temple. They still need the sacrifices. They still need the priest. And by the time of this letter, the church there doesn't seem like they're doing a good job discerning, are they, spiritually? They're not doing a good job discerning truth from error, good doctrine from bad doctrine, true doctrine from false doctrine. So if we take a step back and consider, how did the Church of Jerusalem get to this point? How did they get to this cliff? How did they go from being formed through the preaching of the Apostle Peter at Pentecost to just within almost 20 years be on the verge of losing the gospel as a church? How did that happen? Dull of hearing. Forgetfulness. Unskilled in the word. And being spiritually undiscerning. That's how it happened. And that's why when we think, we start thinking, is dull of hearing really that bad? Me not paying attention in a sermon on a Sunday or me just going through the motions when I read God's word, is it really that bad? Yes. Your heart is being hardened. is growing numb. You're practicing your heart to be numb towards God's word. Right, if you come every Sunday and you're practicing not listening to God's word, you think that's going to be good for you spiritually? No. Because that means when you're really going to need God's word to comfort you, you're going to read it and you're going to be numb to it when you really need it. Because all you've been practicing is being dull of hearing. So that's important. Church, we got to beware of being lazy in our listening. It all starts there. Being dull, being hard-hearted, being numb to God's word. So church, Christian, if you're here and you've been lazy in hearing God's word, the warning is clear here. Beware. That is a dangerous place to be. It's not some insignificant thing. But in fact, that's where doctrinal drift begins. That's where you'll become vulnerable to be duped for false doctrines, or you'll be vulnerable to be tempted by sins of the heart and give in to them. I mean, I'll ask you a question. Do you know why so many churches in America are falling for the new false gospel, the new false woke gospel of believing homosexuality, transgenderism, critical race theory, all those things are good? You know why churches and denominations are falling left and right around us theologically? It's not because they're not smart. It's because they're dull of hearing. That's where it began. They forgot the truth spiritually. They became unskilled in the word. And that led them to being spiritually gullible, spiritually undiscerning. Though they should be spiritually mature, they are in fact spiritual toddlers. And that's how they got eaten up by the wolves in sheep clothing. So church, I cannot stress enough for us from this passage. If we want to be a spiritually mature church, if you want to be a spiritually mature Christian, if we want to be a church that stands firm upon sound doctrine, that we don't get tossed to and fro from whatever the latest theological fad or false teaching is, we must be active, engaged hearers of God's word. It begins here on Sunday mornings, on the Lord's Day, hearing God's word. I mean, what we're doing right now is going to be the most important thing you do all week. And the question is, are you truly engaged? Are you listening? Are you taking notes? I mean, physically, spiritually? Are you considering the meaning of this passage, the truth being taught? Are you asking questions of yourself that come up from this passage? Are you asking yourself, am I dull of hearing? Are you asking yourself, am I forgetful of God's truths? Have I become unskilled in the word? Have I become gullible lately and spiritually undiscerning? I mean, are you zoned out this morning? Beware, brothers and sisters. Becoming dull of hearing is not only dishonoring the Lord, but it will breed spiritual immaturity that will lead to spiritual vulnerability, to temptation of believing in false doctrine or temptation to fall into sin. So that's really the focus of verses 11 through 14, this sober warning to the church. Beware of your spiritual maturity. It's leading to your spiritual vulnerability. But the Apostle Paul doesn't stop there. That's why I really wanted us to look at verses 1 through 3 this morning. He doesn't stop with a simple warning. He then goes on in verses 1 through 3 and gives a hopeful encouragement to them. Really a charge to press on into maturity. For their story is not done. And church, praise the Lord for this, isn't it? If you find yourself, if you think through those characteristics and say, wow, I am the spiritually immature among us. I have become dull of hearing the last few years. I didn't even see it. Man, I've become unskilled, and maybe that's the reason I really haven't been able to really spiritually discern different doctrines as of late. If that is you, here's the good news. You don't have to stay at that state. God has provided a way for you to grow. He's actually given, ordained ways for you to grow. You can still grow spiritually. You know, if they couldn't grow spiritually, he wouldn't warn them, right? And he wouldn't give this encouragement. He's writing to them, telling them, This doesn't have to be the end of the story of the Church of Jerusalem. You can grow up spiritually. We can all grow up spiritually. So let's look at verses 1 through 3 really quickly. He says this, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, and of instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." So here I love these verses. Again, I love that the Apostle Paul doesn't end with a warning or end with a pity party for this church or end with them having no hope. But he ends with a hopeful charge, a charge for them to press on into maturity. That even though they're marked by immaturity now, that doesn't have to be the case going forward. They can grow up spiritually. And there's two ways they can grow up spiritually into maturity. One aspect is what they can do. That's in verses 1 through 2. And then the other is ultimately related to what God will do. And that's in verse 3. First, look at what he calls them to do in verses 1 through 2. He calls them to build upon the basic doctrines of the faith. He says, "Therefore, because you are spiritually immature, you must leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on into maturity." Now, this verse, real quickly, has been deeply misconstrued. Some have taken verse 1 and have deduced that from it, that Christians are to forget the basic doctrines of the gospel and of Christ, and to move to bigger and better doctrines and not to look at those. I don't think that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He's not saying leave those doctrines as if a church or a Christian can graduate from the doctrine of Christ or the gospel. But he's saying you need to build upon them. Right? He says don't lay the foundation again, but build upon the foundation. You've got the gospel. You've got Christ. Now build upon it. Don't just be content with that, with the ABCs of the faith. And don't try to lay again the foundation. Build upon it. Now, what is the foundation? It says it's the elementary doctrine of Christ, the gospel. Here, he's not denigrating Christ or the gospel. He's actually elevating it, saying Christ and the gospel is the foundation to build all other doctrines upon. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul does through the book of Hebrews, isn't it? The whole book of Hebrews is about Christ. He's not leaving the doctrine of Christ. He's not telling them to leave the doctrines of Christ. The whole book of Hebrews is about Christ. But he's building upon the doctrine of Christ. Right? The whole book is about Christ being better, Christ being superior, Christ being more glorious. And he's digging deep into it. He's digging deep into how Christ is greater than the prophets, how he's greater than the priests, greater than the kings, greater than Moses, greater than Joshua. He's digging deeper. He's building upon sound doctrine and the basics and the ABCs of the faith. So think of it this way. God is saying in this verse, you must get past the spiritual ABCs. Not that you leave them behind and forget them. Actually, that's a sign of spiritual immaturity if you forget the spiritual ABCs. You forget Christ and the gospel. But you need to start building upon them. You need to start taking those spiritual ABCs and forming words. You need to start forming sentences, spiritually speaking. To become mature, you need to start taking the doctrines of the gospel and Christ and going deeper, forming spiritual words and sentences, meaning forming doctrines out of them. Start developing good doctrines and deep doctrines from these truths. To press into spiritual maturity means you must start growing theologically. You must start taking what you're learning from the Bible and start forming doctrine and biblical truths and building your life around it, and building our church around it. Now, real quick, if you want to know what basic doctrine he's talking about, look at verses 2 through 3. He gives a list of basic doctrines, the ABCs of the faith. He says, repentance from dead works and faith towards God, instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. Here, these are all basic doctrines. He mentions repentance and faith. That's conversion. He mentions instruction about baptisms and laying on of hands. I think that's likely referring to church membership and church leadership. It's basically the church membership 101. Resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, simply teaching on heaven and hell. So he gives these three categories of conversion, of church membership, and of heaven and hell. He says those are all important doctrines. They're basic doctrines. They're important doctrines to know. You need to know, I mean, when you're converted, you need to know about what it means of repentance of faith. You need to know about becoming a church member. That's important. You need to know about heaven and hell and your eternal destination. But you got to dig deeper. You can't just stay there and not grow theologically. And that's all you know theologically. You've got to build upon it. Some examples of doctrines building upon these basic doctrines would be the providence of God. Brother Joseph's teaching a Sunday school right now. You want to dig deep into God's word, into sound doctrine? Man, spending a whole 4 months digging into the providence of God, that's building. That's spiritual maturity. That's eating T-bone steaks. Right? Think of our men's mentoring class, going through covenant theology, getting in-depth into that teaching. Even our recent conference on the creation ordinances. I mean, digging deeper into the truths of what does it mean to be created male, female? What's the biblical doctrine of work, biblical doctrine of Sabbath, marriage, family? Now you may ask, how can I grow in these ways? Let's say you're here this morning, you're saying, yes, I'm spiritually immature. I've been dull of hearing lately. How can I grow? How can I go on? How can I build upon these truths? What steps can I take to go into the right spiritual direction? I'm glad you asked. Let me give you a few first steps to take. Very first step you should take is to be a spiritually attentive listener and hearer of God's word. I would encourage you, attend the stated meetings of the church. Come to Sunday school. All our wonderful adult Sunday school classes. Come to the worship services. And when you attend, don't be lazy. Be a good listener. Focus on what is being taught. Be a Berean. Remember the Bereans, when Paul preached, they would take what he's saying and try to line it up with the scriptures and make sure what he's saying is right. Do that. Examine what's being taught in Sunday school class. Examine every sermon preached here from this pulpit. See if it lines up with God's word. And I can tell you from personal experiences, the times I grew most spiritually and theologically was when I was the most plugged into the services and meetings of the church. It's why I most zeroed in into the preaching of God's word, both in the morning and afternoon worship services. I can just think of times I just grew exponentially. And all I was doing, it wouldn't look like I did much. I just sat there. But actually, by just sitting there for a full day of the Lord's Day, I grew exponentially because I was zeroed in and focused and receiving God's word. I would go back home and want to study that passage even more. I remember first coming to this church and hearing the preaching and going to the Sunday schools, and guess what? 90% of it was over my head. I had no idea what was going on, okay? The reason was because I was spiritually immature. I was a spiritual babe. But I was getting all this steak, and I was nibbling a little bit. I couldn't take it all at one point. But I would nibble each time. Each Sunday school class, I would nibble a little bit. Each sermon, I would nibble a little bit in the New Testament, the Old Testament. And as I'm nibbling, I'm growing. And by the time within a year, I could take a whole steak. I could take a whole sermon and digest it and think through it and grow from it. So I want to encourage you to do that. One easy step to take is take the bulletins that Miss Cindy prints out for us. There's questions in it from every sermon. You can ask two questions for yourself, for your family, when you go home. Let's see. Let me grab this bulletin. For example, here's one. For today, you can take this bulletin home and ask these questions. You can say, what are the four marks of spiritual immaturity described in our passage? How can I grow in these areas? That's a good question to ask yourself today. Second question, what are steps I can take to press on into spiritual maturity this year? What are ways I can build on the theological foundation I already have? Ask yourself those questions. Ask your family those questions. It causes you to dig a little bit deeper into the sermon afterwards. So the best first step is to listen up during the worship services, the teaching times at the church. Also be fully engaged in your own reading of the word. That will lead you to remembering and retaining what you read and what you've learned, and will cause you to be skilled in handling the Bible, which again will make you spiritually discerning and more mature. So those are the biblical steps. And none of those are, you don't have to be very smart. You don't have to have a ton of time. I mean, that's pretty basic. You follow those. Those are God's ordained ways of spiritual growth. It's through those ordinary means of the preached word, of private and public means of grace. If you just did that, you would grow. You don't have to go to seminars and conferences. You don't have to do all these other things and buy every Puritan's library, right? Those are all great things. You can use those things, but we have enough right here. We have enough right here. God's given us all that we need to grow in godliness as a church. Lastly, our passage ends with not what we can do to grow, but look at God's grace. Verse 3, he says, "And this we will do if God permits." At the end of the day, any spiritual growth only comes by the sovereign hand of God. Yes, seeds can be planted. Yes, spiritual and doctrinal seeds can be watered. But only God can give the true increase. Only he can put it into our bones. Only he can bring forth spiritual growth. But the ways he brings forth that spiritual growth is we got to be in the place in which he waters. Therefore, this should lead us to a complete dependence upon the Lord and not ourselves for our own spiritual growth. It's all about the grace of God in your life. And because of that, it should lead us to prayer. One of the best markers of spiritual maturity is not only listening to God's word well, but it's also talking to him in prayer. For prayer is the best indicator of humility in the Christian life, of dependence upon the Lord for growth. When you stop praying, you stop growing. When we stop praying as a church, we'll stop growing spiritually. When you stop reading the Bible, you'll stop growing. When you stop gathering with God's people, I guarantee you'll stop growing spiritually. I know this because this is God's ordained means of growth for us. This is where the seeds are planted and where they're watered. It's where God gives the increase. Now, I want to close by pointing you to the one who gives the increase, pointing you to the one who not only grows us, but the one in whom we are to grow into and to grow to become. And that's the Lord Jesus. You know, sanctification, spiritual growth is just Christ-likeness. It's becoming transformed more into his image. That's why we can't forget Christ. If you forget Christ and you try to build doctrine and you try to grow spiritually, you're building upon something else, aka idolatry. For Christ is the cornerstone. So let me end by reminding you of this great cornerstone, by reminding you of the great ABCs of the faith, the great foundation we have, which is the Lord Jesus, our glorious Savior who became the cornerstone by dying on the cross for our sins. He was cut down so that we might grow. His death was not only the seed of the church, his death is what secured the salvation of the church. His death is what created the church. His death is what sustains us as the church. And it's his death that will be the result of bringing us into glory one day. It's all because of Christ we're converted, we're born again. It's all because of Christ we're sanctified and we grow in the Christian life. It's all being transformed into his image. So church, heed this warning for sure, but be encouraged. I don't want you to leave thinking, there's no way for me to grow. I'm such a terrible Christian. I'm so dull of hearing. No, the whole purpose of this warning is not to throw a pity party for ourselves as a church. The whole purpose of this warning is to spur us on to maturity. May this year be the year that we commit ourselves to press on even more to grow in Christ's likeness, grow even more theologically and doctrinally, that we will look to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. May we be the church that grows up. May we be the mature church. May we not be the church that has the Peter Pan syndrome, but instead we grow up spiritually into Christ by God's grace. Amen. All glory be to Christ. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. For Lord, I pray even now that you would cause us to receive your word. That seeds that were planted, seeds that were watered today by your word, that you would bring forth increase in every heart here. Lord, that we would be, that the word would not fall on a hard ground or a stony ground or a ground with thorns and thistles, a soil with thorns and thistles, but instead that your word, as it has been preached and read and sang and prayed through, that your word will fall on good soil, that it would be received with joy, and that a great harvest would come from it spiritually. Lord, grow us by your power, by your spirit, by your sovereign hand, I pray. In Christ's name.